thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
As we continue our journey through the book of Psalms, this morning we will be in Psalm 145. Because of time, we will read verses 1 through 3, even though we will go through the entire passage. Psalm 145, starting at verse 1. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful for your word. And Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will help each and every one of us. May our hearts be open. May we be drawn closer to you. And Lord, may our lives ultimately be transformed by you. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story of an old craftsman who was commissioned to build this magnificent grandfather clock that would sit in the center of a town square. It took him years to put it all together. Every piece was hand-carved. The machinery inside was finely tuned. It was an amazing piece once he delivered it to the town. Many of the children enjoyed the melody that the clock produced. They were astonished of how this clock, generation after generation, would keep time. And as one group of children learned how to tell time, they would then bring their children to learn how to tell time. People schedule their lives around the striking of the chimes. This clock would stand the test of time through war, peace, prosperity, poverty. It is the one thing that was consistent in the lives of those who lived in that town. One day, a young boy asked his grandfather, "Who made this clock?" And the grandfather smiled. And he started to tell the story of the clockmaker, of how he loved to work with his hands, and how he wanted to create something that would be everlasting. Now, this is a picture of Psalm 145. A psalm that would stand the test of time. A psalm that would capture the beauty of God generations after generation after generation. The only difference between the psalm and the clock that we heard of is that God is not man-made. According to verse 3, he is unsearchable. He is above. And today we are going to learn what King David learned near the end of his life as he lived a life pursuing a holy God. That every moment of your life and my life, just like in his life, should consist of praising God, worshiping God, extolling his name, lifting his name on high. This would be David's last recorded psalm in the books of Psalm 145. It is also an acrostic, where every verse follows the consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you know anything about the alphabets, you know that there's 22 of them, right? And there's one usually missing in the middle, and that's Nun. However, when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls and some of the other ancient writings, they found that they had inserted the Nun, the verse that was missing. And you'll see that in your Bibles. It's the very last verse of verse 13, and it's usually bracketed in your Bibles. And that particular verse talks about God's faithfulness. So you're going to see as we work through the psalm that the psalm starts off with praising God, worshiping God. And then it gives us four reasons of why we should praise him. The first is God's greatness. And after we look at God's greatness, we then turn our attention to his grace. And then we will look at God's faithfulness, ending with his righteousness. And each one of these teachings should bring you to a place of worshiping, of lifting his name on high. Because at the end of the day, it isn't about you. It is about a holy God. And whether you believe in God or not, we, as his created being, are called to worship, to lift his name on high. So let us take a glimpse at what David wanted to communicate to each and every one of us. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Right? These are amazing verses. David is saying, after a full life of pursuing God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to extol, to praise you. Praise you because of who you are. He's not saying, I'm going to praise you because you answered a prayer. You answered a need. You provided something I wanted. No, I'm going to praise you because you're God. And you can see how personal it is, right? He says, I will. Not anybody else. I will extol you, my God, Elohim. my Lord, Yahweh, the very one who keeps his covenant promises, the very one who will never break a covenant promise, even though we, the Israelites, always break our promises. He will keep his end of the agreement. And as a result, David's going to worship him, praise him. He's going to bless his name forever and ever. How long is that? That's a pretty long time. Forever and ever. The picture that I believe David had was an eternal picture of his relationship with God. That what he was going to start today was going to continue not only through his entire lifetime, but into eternity. Let me ask you this morning, as you prepare to come to services, did you think of God in that way? Did you think of God as you drove here? As you look for your parking spot? As you walk through the doors of the sanctuary? As you sat in your seat and you notice more than anything, boy, it's cold in here. Right? Maybe that has your attention a little bit more than praising God. Right? Right. Did he even come to your thoughts? Where it isn't about what you need or what you have to put together, but Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you that I'm able to take a deep breath. Lord, thank you that my feet are hitting the ground. Lord, thank you that I'm able to stand up. Lord, thank you that I'm able to go to the bathroom. Lord, thank you that I'm able to brush my teeth. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, because who you are as God, my God, and I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you from now into eternity. And here's what he said, right? Every day I will bless you. Right? For him, it wasn't so much as he was preparing to go into the Sabbath, but every day. For us, it's on Sunday, on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, back to Sunday, and over and over and over again. It isn't something that all of a sudden we get tired of and go, you know what, I'm not going to do it today, right? It is part of David's life. It would be part of a believer's life to just praise God, to bless his name, to worship him. It is what you and I will be doing when we step into eternity. Right? It isn't going to be, hey, I'm tired. You know what? Can I do it later? When we are standing before a holy God, that presence is going to call us to praise him, to fall on our knees because of his glory. And here's the thing. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we would start today with our whole being of worshiping God? And now it turns to his greatness. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Right? You can't find the beginning. You can't find the end. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is righteous. He is joyous. He is life. And he wants to have a relationship with you, a holy God, a righteous God. You know, when we stop and we look out the windows, right, we can see his creation. We can see his hand at work. Every breath you take It's something that He is providing you and me. Your heart this morning is beating without your permission. He is the one that is sustaining it. He is the one that keeps it beating day in and day out until that day He calls you home. There's nothing you can do to speed it up, or, right, it's unless you eat a poor diet, right? But that's His greatness. And when we look at Him, we're only getting a glimpse of who He is. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous work I will meditate. You and I are called to tell the next generation. Imagine it this way, that there is a book that's being written, and on that book you have a chapter that your life is supposed to fill in. As you tell the next generation about this God that we praise, as you tell the next generation your testimony of how He selected you, and all of a sudden He transformed your life, my life, that He pulled you out of the pit, out of the miry bog. He set your feet upon a rock. He put a new hymn of praise into your mouth. Many would see and fear because of what He did for you. You didn't do that for yourself. And even if He didn't do that, He's worthy to be praised. And because of what He's done, I'm going to meditate and think about it over and over and over again. Because as I do that, I build my relationship with a holy God, with a great God, a God who wants to be in a relationship with you and me. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The end of those verses where it talks about God's goodness and His righteousness, right? It is a picture, I believe, that David had when God saved the children of Israel and led them out of slavery through the Red Sea, through that time in the wilderness into the promised land, as God Himself provides salvation. Because we can look at His creation, but when we look at those two words, His goodness and His righteousness, those attributes are only applied to God's saving work. And when we think of God's saving work for you and me, we're thinking about what Jesus provides for us. That in Him, He provides salvation because He went to the cross. He conquered sin and death. And as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, we respond to that work. And all of a sudden, when we look at God, He's the only one that is good. He is the only one that is righteous. When you and I receive His righteousness, it is a righteousness that is imputed upon us. It isn't something that we can hold on to. It's His righteousness. And that righteousness is the very thing that allows us to stand before a holy God, a righteous God. He's a great God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. So now we transition from the greatness of God to the grace and mercy of God. Right? It's the very thing you and I need more than anything. Scripture reminds us, right, that he's slow to anger. Aren't you grateful that Scripture would remind us that God is slow to anger? Right? Ask yourself, how many times have you blown it? Right? And you felt as if, right, that you should get, you know, corrected, punished, whatever it is, right? And God almost like takes a step back and he says, let me be patient with my child. Right? Slow to anger. Because here's the thing, our holy God is holding the very ground we stand on. And at any time, if he chose, right, the whole bottom could be taken away. Right? But he chooses not to. And it's a reminder, right, that there are certain things in Scripture that God has done and he promises not to do them again that way. After he floods the earth, he would give Noah a rainbow, right, to remind him, never again will I do it that way. Right? And ever since then, right, he's been slow to anger. Right? And he's been patient with us. And in his patience, he's been showing you and me his love, his steadfast love, the ancient Hebrew word chesed, which is that loyal covenant love that he has for his children. A love that is never ending. A love that is limitless. He just pours it out. And when you're choking on his love, he pours it out a little bit more. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Whenever you see God's grace, you see his mercy. Whenever you see his mercy, you see his grace. Those two are inseparable. It is what he provides for you and for me. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power and make known to the children of men your mighty deeds. And the glorious splendor of your kingdom, the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Right. We, his saints, would bless him over and over again as we give thanks. His kingdom is a kingdom that endures, that last. Yes, we live between the now and the not yet. And sometimes we suffer as we wait. But there is a kingdom that eventually, according to Revelation 22, is going to break through and establish itself and make everything new, where there is going to be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, because he, our God, will wipe them away from your very face. His kingdom endures. And as a result of that, it requires praise. That he would go out of his way to provide this for you and for me. You see how Scripture now talks about his works, his acts, his deeds. It's God. He's busy. He's working. He's working on your behalf, on my behalf. He wants us to have his best. He's loving us. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. That's that verse that was added. But it is about God's faithfulness. We looked at his greatness. We looked at the grace and mercy that he provides, and now we focus on his faithfulness. A God that shows up on time and time again in your life and in mine. He is a God who is faithful in his words. So when we read Scripture, Scripture is the very thing that contains the special revelation of God's plan secured in Jesus Christ. When we read Scripture and we understand it, it is because the Holy Spirit is enabling you to understand Scripture. He is the one that helps us. And then when we stop and look at his works are faithful. His acts are faithful. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. God is the one who is the provider. He is the one who gives you what you need. Sometimes we don't know what we need. Here's the thing. We know what we want a lot of times, or we think we do, but he provides what we need. And as a result of that, it should be piling it on and piling it on and piling it on. That is what brings praise. That is what brings worship to our God. When we stop and think that when we are in need of something, he's the one that provides it. That when we stand here and we say, Lord, help those who are sick and suffering, it is he that provides the wisdom and knowledge of all those doctors, the capacity to do what they do. He is the one that gets the credit. He is the one that we acknowledge. He is our God. In due season, he provides the very thing we need. His hands are open so that our hands could be filled. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears the cries and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. God makes a way where there was no way. God makes things better in our lives because of him. Yesterday, I presided over a funeral, and it was a friend of the family, and this individual was loving, kind, giving, but every once in a while, she would have this critical spirit, right? She would be hard. She would believe that if you were having a conversation with her, right, that you were absolutely wrong and she was absolutely right in whatever the conversation was. But here's what I know. That now that she is in the presence of God, God has just multiplied her goodness. And he has eliminated that critical spirit, right? Because there is no sin in heaven, right? He's the one that provides that. Right? He's the one that makes a way where there was no way. He's the one that sustains you, even when you feel persecuted here on this earth. But here's what he says in order to encourage you, right? I'm going to take care of all the wicked. I'm going to destroy them. You don't have to worry about them. You could surrender them to me, and I'm going to take care of them. So many times we feel like, oh, this person's getting away with this. That person's getting away with. Why do these unbelievers seem to get blessed more than anything? Right? It's, remember, whatever blessing they receive on this side, on this earth, that's all they're getting. Right? Nobody gets away with what they think they get away with. We all have to give an account. He would end where he started. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Right? It's with our mouth that we say, Lord, receive our praises. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you that even though I pray and pray, and you haven't answered my request, you're still holy, you're still good, and you are God, and you are my God, and thank you. Thank you for loving me. Because here's the thing, sometimes the prayers you and I want answered might be answered when we're not here. My prayer for my son, that he would turn back and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that he would be brought back to the faith of his youth. That might happen when I'm not here. And I have to believe that God hears that prayer because he is the initiator of prayer. He wants to see, well, let me see if Jose trusts me. Will he continue to pray? Will he continue to pray this year? Will he continue to pray 5 years from now? Will he continue to pray 10 years from now when you think nothing is changing? In my selfishness, I want to see it now. I want to see my son come to a saving knowledge of who he is, right? And sometimes in me wanting to see it, it's almost me saying, well, Lord, I don't know if I trust you enough not to see it if I'm not here, right? And God reminds me, I got it. I got it. And you know how he reminds me? He says to me, remember what I did with you? Right? Remember when you were astray? Remember where all of a sudden you walked away from me and you found yourself in a position where all of a sudden you were crying out to God, the very one you never thought you would be crying out to, but all of a sudden you uttered those words, God, help me. And I showed up, right? And ever since that day, I've been with you because I've always been with you, right? And that is the God I put my faith and trust in, right? That is the God that when we are looking for an answer, we could put our faith and trust in that God. So here's a couple things that we can, again, be reminded of what Psalm 145 wants to teach you and me. First is the ability to praise God daily for his greatness. Not because he's given us anything, just because he is God. We need to make a daily habit of worshiping God in our lives. It's almost as if we have to carve it out, right? Whether it's our devotional life, whether we set it by our alarm clock, but something that reminds us, let me stop and praise God until that becomes a natural habit of worshiping and praising God, where my life is reflecting God's greatness, God's goodness, His love for you and for me. The second thing we need, right, is we need to tell the next generation of His works. We need to make sure that our chapter in God's book is filled with the stories of our encounter with the living God. We need to invest in passing on our faith to the next generation. If you and I did what God calls us to do, right, this place would be packed. Every seat would be filled. The complaints you and I would hear is, "Ugh, there's no room in that sanctuary for me. I can't believe I got to park in the other parking lot and walk over here," right? Those are good problems, right? Because it means that you and I are doing what God called us to do. That we're telling and people are responding, not because of the work we're doing, but we are able to provide room for the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts. It is what we are called to do, right? Next, to trust in God's compassion and provision. There's so much compassion that God has for you and for me, but He also wants to provide for us. We need to rest in God's character. And as we rest in His character, when times of anxiety or our need becomes great, we are reminded of His compassion, His provision. We can let this shape our prayers to God, as He is the one who is providing, especially during hardship, when we're struggling and we need God to show up. For some of us, He showed up, He answered our prayers, and sometimes we forget. Right? It's we just take this casual view of God instead of saying, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for answering that prayer. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for giving me salvation. Thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for lifting up my head when I didn't want to wake up this morning." Let me tell you, it was tough this morning. Right? I was over there at 7:30 service, right? It was tough, right? But guess what? At 7:30, they were worshiping God, right? Worshiping the living God. And lastly, right, to call on God in truth and to walk in His ways, to maintain a sincere, obedient relationship with God, seeking Him in truth. Not just wanting Him when trouble arises, to align our lives with Him as we surrender to our God and King. Because He wants the best for you. Our God gave His best in Jesus Christ. As our time comes to a close, Jeff's going to lead us in a song that we've heard a few times. And it's about the miracle that we are in Christ. And here's the miracle, right? That God would love us enough to save us, right? And just because of that, if He didn't do that, He is still worthy to be praised because He's God. Let us seek Him now. Would you bow your heads? Father, we are grateful grateful for what you provide in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit upon each and every heart that has said yes to Jesus' work upon the cross. Lord, I pray that as we come to the close of our time this morning, that we would take this time to praise you, to lift your name on high, to worship you. Lord, help us not to be hindered by our flesh. But I pray that we would give you everything, everything. And Lord, would you receive it as worship? Would you receive it as praise? Lord, we thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.